county roles, as it were. And it's really, it's overwhelmed us. The county has seen an increase in crime. Property crimes are up. We are stretched to the limit. The state, of course, didn't give us enough money to deal with this prisoner realignment. And it really, this started with a Supreme Court decision that said that our prisons were too crowded. They, prisoners were not getting adequate medical care. Well, keep in mind that we have a prison psychiatrist in the prison system in California right now who is so bad, other prison psychiatrists will not let him practice being a doctor. That is hideous. So how do we fix a prison system that is not operating well? You know what? Chuck DeVore is a former assembly Republican from Irvine. He was in the assembly from 2004 to 2010 and currently works for the Texas Public Policy Foundation. He's joining us live. I know that you were just in, or you're still in Sacramento, and you were actually talking about how to, I don't know, get value out of our prisons, make them work. What's the deal?
Well, the deal is in Texas and all across the country, there has been something called the Right on Crime movement. And what the Right on Crime has sought to do is reduce the number of crimes being committed while reducing costs. And what the effort is geared toward is typically nonviolent offenders, trying to keep them out of the prison system and focusing alcohol and drug treatment programs and rehab programs on them, which end up being far less costly than full-time incarceration, because usually they can keep working and they stay intact with their family, et cetera. The other thing is what we call immediate and incremental sanctions for people violating parole or probation. So that means if you're granted parole, for example, rather than allowing someone to have a whole bunch of violations, like not checking in with their parole officer or missing a drug test, and then all of a sudden sending them back to state prison, instead what you do is you have constant follow-up and supervision, and if they miss a drug test, guess what? They lose privileges, like they have to spend weekends in jail maybe for the next month, or they get a GPS bracelet, or you know, some sort of an incremental sanction short of going back to prison. And what we find is when you do that, you save about 10 to 20 times the cost of full-scale incarceration, and you reduce the likelihood of the people you divert into these programs of reoffending and becoming hardened criminals.
Now, you know, Chuck, one of the things that, you know, we tend to be, if you're to the right of the spectrum, pretty law and order, you know, just lock them up and throw away the key. And that's something that's not working for us, because when these guys are coming out, they're coming out and reoffending. And really, you know, if you can get somebody who won't reoffend, you've won.
Well, absolutely. And the same is especially true, even more so, at the juvenile justice level. Now, I think what's interesting is Texas, while growing more rapidly than any of the big states, has actually shut down three prisons now in the last 6 years. And it's closed numerous juvenile justice facilities as well, because at the juvenile level, what we find is when a young offender comes across and, you know, gets crosswise with the criminal justice system, if you do something that takes them away from their family and their church and their community and puts them in any sort of a detention or incarceration facility where they're with more hardened youthful offenders, you pretty much have lost that youth for the rest of time. They will statistically be far, far more likely to reoffend and become serious full-time criminals. But if you can possibly, for the nonviolent offenders especially, divert them and keep them out of that first experience in any sort of custody, you're much more likely to have them not reoffend. And it just makes sense, right? I mean, I can understand being tough on crime. Everyone wants to be tough on crime. But let's be right on it as well. In other words, let's do things that make sense, that actually work. Because you don't want to be tough and spend a bunch of money and then actually have a worse result.
Former Irvine Assemblyman Chuck DeVore is with us here on News Radio 600 KOGO, and he's the Vice President of Policy at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, talking about the you know, prisons. We spend so much money on prisons. Our prisons are overcrowded, and we have a high rate of recidivism. You know, currently because of realignment, Chuck, we've had an increase in property crimes in San Diego County. What we're doing is not working.
Well, and the challenge that California is facing that other states have not faced is you have this three-judge federal panel that has the equivalent of kind of a legal gun to the head of the legislature and the governor, forcing you to do things. And other states like Texas and more than 20 states around the country where we've seen success, was bipartisan, bicameral, working with the governor because the legislature and the governor thought it was the right thing to do and it made sense for that state. And so I don't envy the position that California lawmakers are in because they're under the gun. And the challenge then is that you end up with a system that's being forced unnaturally by the federal courts. And naturally, there's going to be some challenges in the implementation. It's going to be rather uneven. And that's has led to some of these problems that you've highlighted.
So how do we get around the federal judges in this?
Well, I think what the legislature and the governor have to do is to convince the federal three-judge panel that California is finally serious about systemically tackling these problems, and not just by renting or building more capacity, because it's very costly in California. To house a criminal in California is about $50,000 a year, which is a little more than double what it costs in Texas. And what you find is with these treatment programs and these rehabilitation programs, these diversion programs, you find that in Texas they cost from 1/10 to 1/20 as much as what is full-time incarceration. And I'm going to guess the ratios are even higher in California because the cost for full-time incarceration is so much more.
So now, when you were talking to the assembly today?
I was talking to the Senate Budget Committee, chaired by Mark Leno, with Joel Anderson is a member of that committee.
Okay.
So I am.
And, you know, did you get any indication that your recommendations would be followed or that they would continue on with, you know, at least looking at doing some of these reforms?
Yeah, absolutely. I got the impression that there was bipartisan interest in what we've done in Texas. I cited nine specific major bills that have been passed in the last three sessions in Texas going back 6 years and explained what they did. As well as the reforms that we're hoping to push in the upcoming session in 2015. So, yes, there was a lot of interest, and it was across the philosophical spectrum.
Now, I know that, you know, one of the things that you have said is that, you know, we on the right can be a little bit knee-jerk when it comes to criminal justice spending. And that means that, you know, we allow these government resources to be blown locking people up despite it running counter to our conservative values. And I got to tell you, I agree with you on this.
Well, you know, the challenge is that the founding premise for America was that the reason why we have government is to secure our liberties, right? No other country has that founding premise. What you'll see in other countries is more of a security, right? Not national security or law and order at home. We're different, right? We're supposed to have liberty as the number one object of government. And the challenge with criminal justice is you're balancing these two ideals that are in tension, right? On one hand, liberty, and on the other hand, public safety. And if you go too far in one direction, you have anarchy. And if you go too far in the other direction, you have the equivalent of, you know, kind of heading toward a police state. And you have to balance it. But in America, we have to focus more on liberty. You can hear I'm at the airport. Sorry,
yes, I can. Speaking of liberty, you probably don't have any because you're at the airport. Listen, Chuck, I appreciate the time and I appreciate the information. When will we know something if there's going to be a movement on the part of the Senate Committee on Budget and Fiscal Review or anybody else in Sacramento to actually, you know, take some of these things into consideration?
Well, you had a major deadline today as far as bill introduction, so I'm expecting within a few weeks you'll have some pretty clear ideas for the bills that are being introduced.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Chuck, why don't we get back in touch with you when it gets a little bit closer and see if they've done what we think is the right thing to do.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great one, Chuck.
Thank you.
That's Chuck DeVore, former Irvine assemblyman here on News Radio 600 KOGO on iHeartRadio at KOGO.com. And, you know, we're looking at a prison system that doesn't work. So I think anything that gives us the opportunity to take somebody who is not a hardened criminal and turn them into a productive, or give them the opportunity to turn themselves into a productive member of society, I think it's worth it. It's worth trying, you know, and helping some of these guys get a job, even with that felony record. You remember we had a call from somebody last week talking about how, you know, every time they try to get a job, this felony record from a million years ago from a drug offense, and he's been, you know, clean and sober for years, he says, pops up and he doesn't get a job. And that's not helpful. You work for the city of Pasadena.